Greetings, everyone. It's time for Native Sun, the show for Indigenous issues on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This episode is going to focus on Biden's historic apology last week. The first story I'm going to read, there were several that covered it in ICT, Native News Online, but the one that I am choosing is the one from the AZ Mirror by Shondeen Silversmith, and it was published on the 25th of October, 2024. Too shameful to acknowledge, Biden delivers historic apology for Indian boarding school. Standing solemnly in front of a crowd full of Indigenous people on the grassy field of a tribal elementary school near Phoenix, President Joe Biden issued a formal apology to Indigenous communities across the country for the role the United States government had in the Native American boarding school system, a system that harmed Indigenous people for generations. After 150 years, the United States government eventually stopped the program, but the federal government has never formally apologized for what happened, Biden said. Until today, I formally apologize, as President of the United States of America, for what we did. Biden's apology was met with loud cheers from the crowd. He's the first sitting president in the last 10 years to visit a tribal nation. He told the community that it was long overdue, and that it was only fitting that it was given at a tribal school within an Indigenous community deeply connected to culture and tradition. I have a solemn responsibility to be the first president to formally apologize to Native peoples, Native Americans, Native Hawaiians, Native Alaskans, and federal Indian boarding schools, he said. It's long, long, long overdue. Quite frankly, there's no excuse that this apology took 150 years to make. Biden said, the pain that the federal Indian boarding school policy has caused will always be a significant mark of shame for the United States. For those that went through this period, it was too painful to speak of, he said. For a nation, it was too shameful to acknowledge. This formal apology is the culmination of decades of work by so many courageous people, Biden said, acknowledging many who are sitting in the audience, including the boarding school survivors and descendants. I know no apology can or will make up for what was lost during the darkness of the federal boarding school policy, Biden said, but today we're finally moving forward into the light. Biden's apology, delivered Friday at the Gila River Crossing School on the Gila River Indian Community, comes 3 years after Interior Secretary Deb Haaland launched the first-ever federal investigation into Native American boarding schools. Haaland spoke before Biden and was welcomed to the stage by Miss Gila River, Susanna Asife, as Auntie Deb. Haaland, a member of the Pueblo of Laguna, told the crowd that thinking about our ancestors today is important because they persevered and their stories are everywhere. We tell these stories because Native American history is American history, Haaland said. The Department of Interior released the final boarding school report in July. It provided 8 recommendations from the Department of Indian Affairs for the federal government that would support a path to healing for tribal communities. At the top of that list was a call for the United States to acknowledge and apologize for its role in the federal Indian boarding school policies that have harmed and continue to harm Indigenous peoples across the country. Today is a day for remembering, but it's also a day to celebrate our perseverance, Haaland said. In spite of everything that has happened, we are still here. Haaland said, the federal Native American boarding school system has impacted every Indigenous person she knows, and they all carry the trauma that those policies and schools inflicted. This is the first time in history that a United States cabinet secretary has shared the traumas of our past, and I acknowledge that this trauma was perpetuated by the agency that I now lead, Haaland said. For decades, this terrible chapter was hidden from our history books, but now our administration's work will ensure that no one will ever forget. Holland launched the Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative in 2021 to shed light on the horrific era of our nation's history. The initiative compiled two reports and visited dozens of indigenous communities, hearing from survivors and descendants so that their experiences are all documented, because the goal of Native American boarding schools was to assimilate and eradicate indigenous people. Holland said the investigation into these boarding schools are shared in those reports, and it shows the loud and unequivocal truth that the federal government took deliberate and strategic actions through boarding school policies to isolate indigenous children from their families and steal from them the languages, cultures, and traditions that are fundamental to indigenous people. As we stand here together, my friends and relatives, we know the federal government failed, she said. It failed to annihilate our languages, our traditions, our life ways. It failed to destroy us, because we persevered. The Federal Boarding School Initiative's report called on Congress and federal agencies to take action. And Holland said that some of those recommendations are already being put into effect. For instance, Holland said the department is working alongside the Departments of Education and Health and Human Services to invest in the preservation of Native languages. We are developing a 10-year national plan guided by tribal leaders and Native language teachers, Holland said, and more details about their efforts will be released later. The painful loss of our indigenous languages has been a consistent topic as we have met with survivors across our nation, she said. Another effort Holland highlighted is the department's collaboration with the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition to create an oral collection of first-person narratives from boarding school survivors. Holland said this collaboration is a way to ensure that future generations are told the stories of the boarding school era and understand the impacts and intergenerational trauma caused by boarding school policies. As the crowd listened to Biden give his speech, protesters with Otham solidarity made their voice heard as one walked toward the stage holding a sign calling for justice for Palestinians. As Biden delivered his remarks, one protester yelled from the crowd, "No, what about the people in Gaza?" The protest was met with shouts from the crowd, as a man from the crowd yelled, "Get out of here!" But Biden said, "Let her talk." "Let her go," Biden said, as the protester was being removed. "There's a lot of innocent people being killed, and it has to stop." Even after the protesters voiced their concerns, the community's attention went back to Biden, as he continued his speech about the boarding school years, as well as his investments to Indian country. Crystal and Curly said she thought of her grandfathers, as Biden delivered his apology, which brought back memories of the stories they would tell of their time at boarding schools and the trauma they experienced. "It's a bittersweet moment," Curly said. "I think there's a lot of a mix of emotions, because each of our Navajo citizens has a tie to the trauma that has happened within our boarding schools." Curly serves as Speaker of the Navajo Nation Council and has heard stories about the federal boarding school system from her community for generations. "It was long overdue," Curly said. "I really commend President Biden for taking that step and being the first one to have that courage to say, yes, we done wrong." Curly said that is something that many indigenous people have been waiting to hear, including the Navajo people. "Many of our children didn't come home," she said, "and the policy's lingering effects include the loss of language and culture." The Department of the Interior investigated the federal Indian boarding school system across the United States, identifying more than 400 schools and over 70 burial sites. Arizona was home to 47 of those schools, which were attended by indigenous children who were taken away from their families and attempted to assimilate them through education and often physical punishment. The legacy of the federal Indian boarding school system is not new to indigenous people. For centuries, indigenous people across the country have experienced the loss of their culture, traditions, language, and land. Multiple federally operated boarding schools were established in the Navajo Nation in Arizona, New Mexico, and Utah, and many of them are still operational today, though under different policies, than when they were constructed. Curley said that there are still a lot of federally operated Bureau of Indian Education schools in operation on the Navajo Nation, but some families still hesitate to enroll their children in them because of the boarding school history. She hopes this apology will lead to the federal government investing in the education system within tribal nations. Start investing back into our children and our mental, spiritual, and psychological health that this has caused for many decades, she added. Curley said she hopes the momentum of Biden's apology will be carried on into the next administration by acknowledging the wrong done to Indigenous communities. Now that an official apology has been given, Curley said that healing needs to take place, and that comes in the form of investing in Indigenous communities, something she said is best done by funding public and mental health resources, as well as reinvesting in the culture and language revitalizations within their communities. For healing to take place, it takes at least two generations, Curley said. After Biden issued his apology, Native organizations and advocates from across Indian country called for action. Cheryl Crazy Bull, president and CEO of the American Indian College Fund, said that the federal government and philanthropists need to make a significant investment in restorative and healing approaches, as well as institutions to repair the harm done by the boarding school era. The Native people who we support, from our youngest children to our college students, deserve that investment, she said. Crystal Echohawk, founder and CEO of Illuma Native, called Biden's apology a significant step toward justice for Indian country, but said it must not be the end of the government's efforts. True accountability requires comprehensive action, beginning with full transparency about the extent of these abuses and the return of Native children's remains to their families and communities, she said. We must continue to demand further accountability of the harms done to Native peoples, especially the Native children who experienced neglect, inhumane conditions, physical and sexual abuse, and death under the guise of education, Echohawk said. The federal government must commit to supporting Native-led healing initiatives, language revitalization programs, and cultural preservation efforts to effectively begin repairing the damage of the past. And that was the article, Biden Delivers Historic Apology for Indian Boarding School. You're listening to Native Sun on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds of Arizona has been providing the disabled with audio access to print information for over 40 years. Learn more at our website, sunsounds.org, where you can find our live streams and individual episodes on demand. You can now also listen to us through the Sun Sounds app, which is available for download for free for iPhone and Android at your accustomed mobile app stores. This next article is from ICT, and it's Reactions Mixed to Boarding School Apology. It was published on the 25th of October and contains the warning that maybe would have been better at the beginning of the show, but this contains disturbing details about residential and boarding schools. If you are feeling triggered, the National Indian Residential School Crisis Hotline can be reached at 1-866-925-4419. So that's 866-925-4419. The article is written by Shondine Mayo and Polly Dennettclaw. For some, even a long-awaited apology was not enough to endure reliving the pain and trauma of Indian boarding school. Instead, after waiting decades for the United States to admit wrongdoing, they opted to send their children or grandchildren to join the hundreds of other Native people in accepting President Joe Biden's historic apology on Friday, October 25th, 2024, at the Gila Crossing Community School in Levine, Arizona. The apology and the admission that the government policy was wrong brought joy and relief to many in the crowd, but also a flood of tears at the suffering. Michael Mazzocco, Delaware Nation and chair of the Phoenix Human Relations Commission, stepped in for his mother. She had planned to attend Biden's speech, but decided it would be too overwhelming after seeing what boarding schools had done to his grandmother, aunts, and uncles. There is a moment to celebrate. The United States admitting that they did something wrong is something to celebrate, he told ICT. Interior Secretary Deb Haaland's work in this area is something to celebrate. And President Biden's lack of ego and his extreme humiliation is something to celebrate, because not many leaders operate that way. Nonetheless, he said, there was still a lot of sadness surrounding it. For Dolores Jimerson, Seneca Bear Clan, the apology brought a flood of memories. It was very healing to watch the apology, also very emotional, said Jimerson, the Behavioral Health Education Director for the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. I was moved to tears as memories of the stories my father and other family shared over the years about their experiences at boarding school came flooding through my tears. It was a day of mixed reactions, with bipartisan praise for the apology coming from the far reaches of Indian country, along with demands from critics that more be done. The apology was just the first step, they said, in what must be an extensive effort for healing and reparation in Native communities and families where generational trauma endures. Frederick Lane of the Lummi Nation, a survivor of the Chemawa Indian School, spoke via phone with ICT, struggling to be heard over the barking crowd of his five pet chihuahuas. He attended the school in the 1980s. His father graduated in the 1950s. Lane was senior class president at Chemawa and very interested in accountability and transparency from leadership, something they were reluctant to provide, Lane said. But he was impressed by Biden's speech, weeping as he thought of the children at Chemawa who never made it home. It means a lot to hear an apology from the commander-in-chief, he said. Cheryl Kennedy, chairwoman of the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, also has connections to the Chemawa School in Salem, Oregon. At more than 125 years old, it is the oldest continually operating boarding school for Native children in the United States. Kennedy's father worked as an electrician at the school, and her brother and sister were born at the hospital on the grounds. The school remains of particular interest to the Confederated Tribes of Grand Ronde, as it sits on ceded Grand Ronde land, Kennedy said. As for the apology, Kennedy said, it's been a long time coming. But she also wants to see funding to address generational trauma and mental health care included in both the Bureau of Indian Affairs and Indian Health Services budgets. She also hopes to see better state and countrywide education that provides accurate and culturally informed curriculum about the Native nations and people within each state. Now, after the generational damage has been done, what are you, Biden, going to do to demonstrate that you sincerely mean the apology? Kennedy asked. Gina Kakak, chairwoman of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin, was one of five tribal leaders who traveled with Biden to Arizona for the announcement. She called her mother from the phone on the plane, telling her she was on Air Force One with the president. It was an emotional moment for the two. I let her know that we're sitting here and we deserve to be here, Kakak told ICT. Kakak praised Biden for the apology. Now, she said, the federal government must work to address the impact of boarding schools on Indigenous nations. A big piece is our identity. Reclaiming our identity, reclaiming our language, and being able to fund those initiatives that help us do that, she said. Help us create spaces for that. I think that's going to play a key role in our path to healing. Kakak was able to share this and more with Biden on their plane ride over. Our tribal sovereignty needs to be respected, she said. She told the president. Margaret Jacobs, a Nebraska history professor and author of After 100 Winters, which examines national reconciliation efforts in the U.S., Australia, Canada, and New Zealand, said she was overjoyed to finally see a formal apology issued by a sitting president. However, she questioned the approach Biden took to deliver that apology. When prime ministers in Australia and Canada issued similar apologies in 2008, they delivered those apologies before their respective parliaments and invited numerous Aboriginal and First Nations leaders to attend. They also announced their plans to issue those apologies well in advance, which gave Indigenous people an opportunity to prepare events and ceremonies to celebrate the historic events. Communities created events around it, Jacob said. Many schools and workplaces closed so people could attend the event. These were really momentous days in those nations. She said she hopes national leaders and local communities can work together in the coming days, weeks, and months to honor the significance of the boarding school apology, and perhaps host listening sessions where non-Native people can hear stories from boarding school survivors and their descendants. This is a huge deal, she said, but I just want more. Many tribal nations and Native-run organizations demanded that Biden's apology come with action for repatriation of remains, reclaiming languages and identity, and continuing to investigate the hundreds of boarding schools and the plights of tens of thousands of children who attended them. Although Holland made reference to a 10-year national plan driven by tribal leaders that would include language revitalization and other reforms, details of the plan were scant in Friday's announcement. A final report issued after a year-long study by the Department of the Interior into boarding schools issued a series of recommendations for the government, starting with an apology. The report also recommended the creation of a Truth and Healing Commission to further investigate boarding schools, which appears to be stalled in Congress despite efforts to bring it to a vote. It also calls for a national memorial to acknowledge those who endured the hardships, and financial support for tribal programs that include repatriation, education, language revitalization, mental health support, and community rebuilding. Nick Tilson, Oglala Lakota, and the chief executive and founder of NDN Collective, an Indigenous-led advocacy group, provided a list of demands Friday for the Biden administration to follow up with after the apology. Today's speech can't just be a speech from the president about what he's done for Indian people during his administration. It has to be about what this country is going to continue to do for Indian people moving forward, Tilson said during a Friday press conference. In addition to winning passage of the Truth and Healing Commission, Tilson called for rescinding medals of honor given to U.S. Army members for the Wounded Knee massacre, working to make unprecedented investments into Indigenous language and education, and launching an investigation into the Tuba City Boarding School, an Arizona school operated by the Bureau of Indian Education where students have alleged sexual and physical abuse by teachers. He also called for release from prison of Leonard Peltier, who is currently serving two consecutive life sentences in connection with the deaths of two FBI agents in South Dakota in 1975. The Turtle Mountain Anishinaabe elder is serving his time in the Coleman 1 Maximum Security Prison in Coleman, Florida, and was denied parole earlier this year. He has long maintained his innocence. Before you leave office, if you want to cement your legacy with Indian people in this moment, free Leonard Peltier, Tilson said during the press conference. Margot Gray, executive director of the United Indian Nations of Oklahoma, is a descendant of federal Indian boarding school survivors. She is Osage and is the sister of former Osage Nation chief Jim Gray. She was also an actor featured in Martin Scorsese's film Killers of the Flower Moon. The apology, she said, was long overdue. Now she wants the Truth and Healing Commission to win passage in Congress to provide additional funding. That's where a lot of the money is going to come from for the healing, she said. It's the next step in the right direction for justice. I think another tribal leader said it best. It's just a long list of things that have happened to Indians in this country. Gray said that she went to the first hearing on Holland's Road to Healing tour, which crossed the country, taking testimony from survivors and family members. Many survivors testified to the panel. It was gut-wrenching, she said. I was in the room. My feeling is that this administration has done the right thing. The apology also drew support from Democratic politicians, though they too acknowledged that more work is needed to help Native communities and families heal. To have the President of the United States formally acknowledge the harms of our past and issue a direct apology to tribal nations is powerfully important, said U.S. Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington State and chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee, which she said in a statement. She said she will continue to work with the Biden administration to deliver investments in tribal community. As a voice for Washington State's tribes in the Senate, I will continue to fight to live up to our commitments to our tribal partners with action and real meaningful investments, she said. U.S. Senator Jeff Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon, likewise praised the apology, but more work is needed, he said. As chair of the Senate Interior Appropriations Subcommittee, I've secured $21 million to date for Interior Secretary Holland's Indian Boarding School Initiative to examine and help repair these devastating historic wrongs, he said. I'll keep fighting to secure funding for this important initiative and to uphold our commitment to honoring the solemn promise the United States has made to tribal communities to fulfill our trust and treaty obligations. Also contributing to this report were ICT staff members Kevin Aberishk, Nika Bartu-Smith, Callie Benelli, Felix Clary, Caden Mills, Mary Annette Pember, Luna Reyna, Amelia Schaefer, and Shirley Sneave. The article was titled Reactions Mixed to Boarding School Apology. You've been listening to Native Sun, bringing you news of Indian country on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Your reader is Bethany Williams. Thanks for listening.